to bring everything and everyone that he had with him, and to be well looked after. No doubt it was quite an offer, but we cannot but help think that Jacob perhaps accepted it with some mixed feelings. He would have been leaving there perhaps some treasured associates in Hebron. He loved the place, and I've no doubt he loved the people. But Jacob did not decide to go down into Egypt at this time without consulting the Lord. He did something very important on his journey to that part of the world, because we now see him turning aside to seek not only divine approval, but divine blessing at a place called Beersheba. Now, Beersheba was off the main route to Egypt, so he did it very consciously. And therefore, we believe that it was something that he saw as absolutely vital. Now, for Jacob's family, Beersheba had historical significance. And indeed, Beersheba testifies in some ways to a legacy of faith regarding that family. Beer, here, the word beer means well. It was Abraham's well. And Sheba means off an oath. It was a place of an oath. It was there that Abraham had made a covenant with Abimelech, or really an oath with him. And here that Abraham also, in chapter 22, as it was called, to offer Isaac, and then the Lord provided the lamb. It was here that Jacob's father, Isaac, had worshipped, he had lived, he had experienced confirmation of God's hand upon his life. And it was here also from Beersheba, 90 years or so earlier, that Jacob had fled from Esau, his brother. And he now returns on his way down to Egypt, to a place where he's been promised plenty. He turns into Beersheba again with one purpose in mind, and that was to do business with the Lord. And folks, that is always an important part of our life, to turn aside from whatever we're doing every day and to take that time to do business with the Lord. You cannot but help, as you read here, think that there seems to be rededication. There's talk here of sacrifices, and we believe that here's a man, and he is looking, not only is he looking approval and blessing from the Lord, but he wants assurance. He wants assurance. And folks, whenever we take that and place that kind of situation in our own lives, there's always changes in our lives. Sometimes things seem to go along just as they are for a while, but then change comes. It may be regarding employment, and it may be regarding so many other things in our lives, but we must not only seek approval and blessing from the Lord in all those situations, but how we need assurance. And with the pressure of 21st century life, how often we find ourselves coming back to the Lord. I don't mean coming back to him as though he'd backslidden, but coming back to him time and time and time again, looking for assurance. That's why we never want to be too sure in Gideon. Gideon wanted assurance from the Lord, and he got it, and then he wanted more. That's just like me. And I'm sure like you as well. This was a tremendous step of obedience for old Jacob. Now, he had Joseph's word to rely upon. Remember what Joseph meant to Jacob. He thought he was dead all these years. Remember what he meant to him in his younger days. There were the wagons, which were evident that their help had been sent to bring the people down. And all of those things seemed to be saying to him, just get up and go. But he still needed assurance from the Lord. And in every walk of life, as we've already mentioned, whatever your task is during any given week, you need assurance from the Lord. The housewife needs it in the home. Those working out in the office or the factory need it. the farmer out on the farm, he needs it as well. And really, as we look at Jacob here, he was putting into practice Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on to thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And God still leads and directs his people, but he still gives great assurance to his people. So I want you to notice with me this morning, and I hope that you will be encouraged and assured too, as we look here at divine assurance for Jacob. Notice here that for Jacob, there was that word that dealt with any hesitant spirit that may have been there. A word that dealt with any hesitant spirit that may have been there. Now, let's put ourselves just for a second or two into Jacob's position. He loved where he was. Close associates. Everything there that was familiar to him. And now he's told to leave. But it says there in verse 3, it says, I am God, the God of thy father. I am God, the God of thy father. For perhaps 22 years or so now, we don't know everything really that happened there. But I know one thing for sure. He'd spent those years as a broken-hearted man. Without Joseph. And maybe in that situation he was existing more than living. And just getting through. But it says here, I am God. The word there being Elohim. Revealing to us the omnipotence of God. One who's able to fulfill all of his covenant engagements. And to bring Jacob through his difficulties. And even bring him, even he's an old man, to bring him to that better day. The words perhaps would have been to him a reminder of all that the Lord had done for his father Isaac. Isaac proved God reliable. He had proved him accessible. And he had proved him incomparable in his life. Just take a couple of texts here. And we look back to chapter 31 and verse 42. Chapter 31 of the same book. It's verse 42. It says, except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac, had been with me. Surely thou hadst sent me away now empty. God has seen my affliction and the labor of mine hands and rebuked thee yesternight. Except the God of my father and the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac. The word they're referring to something or someone being an object of reverence. Here was a man who had a reverence for the Lord. This man, Isaac, oh, he wasn't perfect. We know that. We're not here to just see what we can find wrong with Isaac. But rather, we're saying here that Isaac was a man who found God accessible, incomparable, and reliable. And now we have Jacob. And Jacob would have heard Isaac speak of Abraham's faith. And of the many times God had drawn alongside and helped and how they'd experienced the goodness of God. And all of these things would have been familiar to him. You can imagine old Jacob now, what it was in his mind. 22 years, broken man. Been lied to by his own sons. Jacob was gone and things were not good in the land. And now he gets word, Joseph is living. Come with us and you will have everything that you need. All of the promises that God had made would now come to his mind. I can't say for sure, but maybe during those years he, in some way, placed a little question mark over some things. Maybe he even thought, you know, the Lord did it for my granddad and he did it for my father, but he can't do it for me. And then when we start thinking like that, we think he won't do it for me because it's me. And I'm not as worthy as my father or my grandfather were. And we start looking inward and before we know it, we become extremely unhappy. There's very little here to suggest that Jacob was happy. even though he was in Hebron. But here's a word from the Lord, a word to deal with any hesitant spirit that there is there with him. He said, I am the God of thy father. Those words were spoken for a reason, to remind him of all that God had done for his fathers and all of the promises that God had given. God is really saying to him, you will find me true. You will find me to be true. Remember Jeremiah? He was a godly man too. Over there in Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah, the name actually means one who is appointed by Jehovah. So there was no doubt that he had something to do for the Lord. But it says there in Jeremiah 1 and verse 6, when the Lord had commissioned him, he said, and then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Here's a man, and there's no difficulty here with his ego, because he doesn't have one. He doesn't feel he's able to do what the Lord is instructing him to do. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And when you go right through the book of Jeremiah, and indeed his whole life, that was his experience. Now, not many people responded in a positive way to his preaching. But he was able to go to them, and he was able to say to them all of the words that the Lord had given unto him. God had found him to be true. He had found God to be true. And Jacob now, as he would seek assurance before he would go down into Egypt, he's been told by the Lord that I will be true. You will prove me to be true. And even in a small congregation like this, there's so many different walks of life for people. So many different stories. So many different times when we need assurance, folk. And maybe you need it right now. Or maybe there's someone that you're thinking of, a Christian, and they need a word of assurance right now. They really need to know that God will be true to them. And he will be. And here's the word to remove any hesitant spirit that there may be there in going on with the Lord, because that's what Jacob was doing. When God guides you and wants you to go on with himself, and there's a bit of hesitancy there, because, as is the case most times, we just look around us, and that right away discourages us. Here was a word to deal with the spirit, any spirit of hesitancy, well, that was there. But not only was it a word to deal with any spirit of hesitancy that was there, the Lord also spoke to him concerning any apprehension that he might have. You know what apprehension is, and so do I. After the Lord says to him there in verse 3, I am God, the God of thy father, fear not. Fear not. You see, Abraham, if you look at chapter 12, and verse 10, Abraham had went without God. You know the story there, where he went without the Lord's leading. And that's, again, that is the great thing about the Bible. It shows men just as they are. Abraham was a mighty man, but he went without God in chapter 12 and verse 10. And Abraham had gone down into Egypt. Isaac was forbidden to go in chapter 26 and verse 2. And perhaps all of these things were playing on his mind. What if the boys are, again, they're just spinning me one here? What if the wagons, what if it's all a setup in some way or another? And what if it's not true? What if somebody has pulled the wool over the boys' eyes? And their intentions at this time are honorable. But on down the line, how would Joseph be there? All of these things in his mind. And then he'd think, you know, Abraham went down there without God. God didn't want him to go there. And then Isaac, my father, he was forbidden in chapter 26. He was forbidden to go down there. And what if we go without God? What if we go without God? There would have been that fear there, I have no doubt. And all over the world today, people are going for God. People going out to the mission field, Of course, we have our own denomination, our own Bible college, but there are many others too. Some we don't know about, plenty we don't know about in America and right across Europe and other places too, that are going for the Lord. And they're seeking his face that he might open doors for them. But I would say that to a man or to a woman, with every one of them, there is the question in their mind, is it the Lord leading me? And there's that thought of fear, that feeling of fear, that feeling of apprehension. Well, what really if it's just a fleshly feeling that I have and it seems like a sort of a like a romantic type thing to be involved in this? Please never go to the mission field with those thoughts in your mind, because you'll get a rude awakening. But apprehension is something that every Christian can have in any area of life. Some people have it nearly every day going into work. No fault of theirs. But it's just that in work, they know that when they get there, everything changes. The language changes. The attitude changes. Everything there is totally different from what they enjoy when they're in among God's people. And people have to live with it day and daily. Many, many people. And fear then can get a person to that point where they're so apprehensive that they're almost not wanting to go. Over there in the Psalm number 78, Psalm 78, it says there in the verse 53. This is concerning those who come up out of the Lord had led up out of Egypt. He made his own people in verse 52 to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And then it says very importantly in verse 53, and he led them on safely so that they feared not. See that? When the Lord is leading you on, then he's able to deal with the fear. The Lord Jesus, and I don't know how many occasions, said to his people around him, he said, fear not, and fear not, little flock, fear not. He didn't say those words because he couldn't think of anything else to say, but rather he looked into the hearts of even the most well-meaning of his people, and he knew they feared. He knew they feared. And I'm not stretching it in any way today to say that vast majority of Christians in 2017 fear so many things. Fear many things. And again, if you're involved with young people or you have young people of your own children or grandchildren, you cannot but fear. You cannot but fear. And Psalm here, Psalm 78 in the verse 53, he led them on safely that they feared not. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies. That shows us that that which was causing great apprehension even for themselves, the Lord dealt with it. Maybe there's something worrying away at you, and you fear that it's going to happen. And it's causing you concern and a great deal of time is spent unsettled in your life. Well, folks, we can rest upon the word. Divine assurance for Jacob, but there's divine assurance for you. God hasn't changed. And just as he took the enemy there and he overwhelmed them in the most amazing way, it was in the sea, of course. That thing that's wearing away at you and causing you fear and apprehension. And I know I'm speaking to people who have that. Some who have that, whether it's to do with other people or with yourselves. This is something that we need to understand. The Lord can lead us on safely, that we fear not, and he can deal with that which seems to be knocking at the door and is causing that apprehension. Over there in Isaiah 44, Isaiah 44 and verse 8 says, fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? You're even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. If you study that in the context, you will see that these literally are just words of comfort from the Lord. They're words of comfort from the Lord. And you can trace them right through the word of God, how he comes along to his people and he says to us, fear not. I remember reading of a missionary lady one time, and she had spent many years on the field, and there were many, many difficulties associated with that work that she was involved in, and many, many discouragements. And even on a personal level, she sometimes got to a state of great fear. Fear gripped her so much of the time. And ever when she was retiring from the field, she was at a meeting. I don't know if it was a conference or what it was, but they were talking to her about what would you do different. And she says, the one thing that I would do different, said, I would trust him more. I would trust him more. Spent so many years in fear. And folks, we're not being critical of her because it's so easy to do that. And the Lord comes along here to Jacob and he says, I am Elohim, the omnipotent, the all-powerful God. I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt. And Christian friend, you can fear not to go on with the Lord. Wherever you are in your work or your business, you're going on with the Lord. He has opened the door for you in work that you must be involved in. And remember, he can keep you there. He can deal with you with the fear there. And while it will not be heaven on earth, I've no doubt, he can still deal with the fear and help you to go on with him and to live for him wherever you are. But there's also here, as the Lord spoke to him, the Lord showed him here that he was completely committed to helping Jacob. It says here, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will there make of thee a great nation. I just want to turn back and read to you something here. You needn't worry about turning to it. Don't want. It's Genesis chapter 28 and the verse 12. Here we have Jacob dreaming. It says, and he dreamed in verse 12. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. I will not leave thee until I have done with that which I have spoken of to thee. There's no doubt that Jacob remembered this at this time. He remembered what God had said to him, and God now again reminds him, for there I will make of thee a great nation. There I will make of thee a great nation. Jacob was being reminded again. The Lord was sending him here. I will there make of thee a great nation. Reminding him he hadn't forgotten what he promised. Again reminding Jacob that, Jacob, you may have given up all these years. And as I said, you're just existing more than living. Just getting through, and what you have isn't really life. It's so full of disappointment, heartbreak because of Joseph and so on. Well, the Lord's coming along to him now and saying, remember, Jacob, so long ago, I showed you that I could do far more with your life than you could. And he has done that in some degree, but he hasn't finished yet. And folks, there's a word for us as well. The Lord is able to take our lives. Remember how Jacob was. He was a twisted man. Most difficult individual. The Lord loved him. And the Lord changed him. And the Lord helped him. And here the Lord is showing him, you can go down there because I have yet remember to make of thee a great nation. Maybe God has promised you something, Christian. And promised you that he would help you to do something, and you've been trying to do it the best you can. And sometimes you just may ask the question, well, God led me to do this. Why don't I see what I want to see? Well, God's work so often, whatever part of it we are involved in, is a work of faith. Yes, we hold on to what he said, but we keep on doing what he has told us to do. Do you remember the Apostle Paul? He said to the Lord, immediately after he was converted, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What would thou have me to do? And if he'd known everything he had to do before he asked that question, well, maybe he would still have asked the question, but he had so many hard things to do. So much to deal with in the work that the Lord had called him to. But in all of it, you will read in Paul's writings, in all of it, he found the Lord faithful. He found the Lord did not deny himself. He didn't go back on his word. And old Jacob here, with all the apprehension, the Lord comes along and he says, fear not. And then he shows him that he's totally committed to helping. He says, I'll there make of thee a great nation. He even goes further and he gives him this assurance of his companionship. Sometimes if you want to do something for the Lord, it doesn't have to be a missionary or a minister, but doing something for the Lord, there is a thought of maybe loneliness, or, oh, well, it'll just be me, or how will I get on? Look at verse 4. It says, I will go down with thee into Egypt. I will go down with thee into Egypt. Now, if you look at where it says there, with thee and keep thee, this was including Egypt. While his location was going to change, again, the Lord's companionship was not going to change in any way. It wasn't going to change in any way. I just want to read what it says there in Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33 in the verse 13. I'll read from there. It says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace. It's Moses, of course, speaking here. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee. That I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. He said, my presence shall go with thee. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up thence. I believe that if Jacob had pulled aside into Beersheba, and he didn't get this assurance that it was God's will for him to go on down there, then he may well have turned back. He may well have turned back. And maybe you're at a crunch time in your life. I hope you're not, but maybe you are. And going on with the Lord is more difficult than it used to be. And you're feeling afraid and uncertain and maybe even lonely too. The Lord comes along this morning and he gives you this divine encouragement that he is Elohim, he is the omnipotent God, he is all powerful. That's what he's saying here. And he's the one who's able to deal with the fear and the apprehension. And he's the one who's still able to take our lives and to do far more with them than we can. The world gives 100%, I'm talking about the system of the world, to what it does. When we try to do that, we always find it difficult. We need assurance. And then we're in the crest of the wave today, and maybe by tomorrow we need assurance again. And here the Lord was coming along, really saying to Jacob, Jacob, everything that you need, I will be that to you. I will be everything you need to you. And Moses, as we read about there in the book of Exodus, Moses was so certain that he needed the Lord's presence. He says, if thou go not with us, not carry us not up thence. But the Lord knew that. And the Lord promised him, my presence shall go with thee. Remember Joshua there? He was a great character. In Joshua chapter 1, the Lord says to him, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. I believe at that point, if there had been a Belfast telegraph, and Joseph had the hold of it, he would have been there looking for jobs. Or sorry, Joshua had it. He'd have been there looking for any openings for employment, because history, church history tells us that he not only did he not feel that he couldn't step into Moses' shoes, but he felt that he simply didn't want to do it. He was so petrified. Church historians actually tell us that he fell down on his face in the dust and that he was resisting doing what the Lord wanted him to do here. The Lord says to him in verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And then the Lord repeats it because Joshua needed to hear it. He says, only be thou strong and very courageous. There it is again. But if we go on downstream a bit in his life to chapter 21 of the book of Joshua, and look at verse 44 and 45. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. Do you remember he told Joshua, that not a man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life? There were absolutely stacks who tried. And they couldn't do it. It says, there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. You and I, everybody is assured today of the Lord's companionship, as Jacob was, as Joshua was, and as Moses was. And it's just as you feel today very keenly your need of him, number one, to deal with the fear, to deal with the hesitancy, to deal with the thought of maybe not knowing his power, to deal with the loneliness, just as you need his assurance right now, they did too. And they got it. And you have it today as well. And therefore, there's every reason for God's people to have a spirit of expectancy, to have joy in serving the Lord, to go out and to preach to that Sunday school class or whatever it is, as though you'd never done it before. Expecting the Lord to move in the children's meeting as though none of the children had ever heard that message before and you had something that the Lord was definitely going to use on that occasion. That's the way we want to go. It's the same here on a Sunday night, come and preach the gospel night after night as though we'd never done it before, because you don't know who's going to be there and who's going to be listening. Why do we do it? Because we have divine assurance that God hasn't changed. There's one more we thought here, and it is this. Remember what I said, that Jacob loved Hebron. He loved home, and home is always home. The Lord says to him there in verse 4 of Genesis chapter 46, I will go down with thee into Egypt. Then he says, and I will surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Jacob would be buried in the promised land. You see there where it says, Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. That is the reference to how many in those days, it was the duty of the nearest of kin to close the eyes of those who were deceased, and to put their hand upon their eyes, look up and close their eyes. And he says to him here, Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes, I will bring thee up again. In other words, Jacob, this is where you're going now, to know great blessing and help beyond anything you ever thought of in your life. Yes, you're an old man, but there's so much still the Lord has to do for you here. And then one day, you'll be there. You'll be back again. And Joseph will put his hand upon your eyes. So he gave him that word of comfort. And what God said drove away the fear that Jacob had. Drove away all the thoughts that were negative. And he was able to go on his journey down into the land of Egypt to enjoy what the Lord had provided for him there. And I trust the Lord will assure you continually, Christian. We all know that we need this assurance continually in every part of the work. And time again, we're brought to that point where we're looking to him. We're looking to him to honor his word. And he's able to do that. Divine assurance for Jacob, and divine assurance for each one of us in the work of the Lord as well. May the Lord give you many assurances as you seek to go on with him and live for him and serve him in these days.